The first question is from Giovanni Razzoli with Equita. Please go ahead.
Good morning to everybody. A couple of questions on my side. The first one is slide number 44, because clearly today the market and the environment is very uncertain, so we need also to understand what is an outlook for the short-term profitability of the bank, regardless of the V-shape, let's say, your 0.3% GDP growth assumption for 2020. So that said, you are telling us that your tangible value will rise by 1.2 billion 2019-2023, with €800 million cumulative capital distribution and €770 million of net profit in 2023. So basically, this means that in 2020-22, there will be something like €1.2 billion of cash flow generation, which squares something like €400 million of profits average per year, which is slightly below consensus as my estimates. I was wondering whether my calculation is correct, and if you can provide us with a guidance in terms of net income for 2021, or whether this calculation is more or less consistent with what also you have in mind. Another clarification, 70 basis point of impact of Basel IV, I was wondering whether it's fully phased or phased in. I think it's phased in, but if you can please clarify this. And the very last question, I was wondering whether you may consider the proposed to the next general meeting the introduction of an interim dividend payment as a way to reinforce your view about the improvement in the risk profile and the capital position of the bank, and also give to the market a signal that you are really confident about the evolution of your earnings profile going forward, regardless of the V-shape scenario. Thank you.
Many questions. Let's start from the plan results. Of course, it's easy to have the last year of the plan. It's less easy to have the assumption under the first 3 years. I would say that, of course, as you can imagine, the first year of the plan, there would be also some extraordinary cost for the reduction of personnel. And this, of course, will impact. But I would say that, of course, during the plan horizon, you will have also a reduction of HTCS reserve. So there will be many things that you cannot consider, of course, having only the final results. So let me say that will be a progressive growth in terms of shareholders' wealth creation, starting from 2020, which will be in line. Of course, again, we have also B-shaped scenario, which of course is more negative in this aspect. So it's difficult to give you some guidance in this, having in mind what we already explained. But will be progressively increasing up to a solid results in 2021, 22, 23. The Basel IV 70 basis points are fully phased. And sorry, maybe I didn't get to the. Oh, no, interim dividend. Let's say that I wouldn't have expected the question today because everybody is very negative about the outlook, but let's say that if this situation is going ahead, as we hope, normalizing very soon, I think we will have the time to talk about more frequency of dividend and so on. I don't think today would have been very credible to talk about that.
Thank you.
The next question is from Fabrizio Bernardi with Fidentiis. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Got a few questions on the capital base. I'm not getting right the moving parts of the common equity, in the sense that you mentioned tangible equity up 1.2 billion euros, while you mentioned only 40 basis points of capital generation from ordinary business. So I don't know why it's so small. Maybe I'm looking at something different. Secondly, can you elaborate a bit more on the 130 basis points of capital benefit from balance sheet and capital management measures? I mean, in this 130 basis points, do we have something related to Agos Ducato or to Anima or whatever you may have? or is something that you could, let's say, do if the regulatory headwinds are effectively 200 basis points? So to me, it seems that the 200 basis points are a very tough number for a bank, for a domestic bank like Banco BPM. So I'm wondering if this is a sort of a worst-case scenario or is, let's say, the base case. And last question is about the payout. You say that the payout of 40% is an average payout. So should I get something like zero in 2020 and 100 in 2023, or there is a floor that you would like to respect? Thank you.
First question, a bit complicated, very technical. Of course, there is a difference in the growth of the positive elements of Common Equity Tier 1 vis-à-vis the growth of the tangible. Just to make an example, we have a difference coming from the net profit is already inside the Common Equity Tier 1, but it's not in the tangible. This accounts for 300 million. There is, as I mentioned before to Razzoli, a reduction in the HTCS reserve. There is an increase in the intangible. So it's difficult to square this number together. Of course, the 40 basis point of business development take account also of the organic development of the RWA. In terms of balance sheet and capital management, of course, we don't mention anything that we didn't say directly to you. So what we announced was a potential, you know that there is a put of worth 10% of Agos capital, and this, of course, is inside, and the potential disposal of the other activity, product factory I mentioned before, which basically brings no profitability, material profitability to the bank. This makes the 40 basis point I mentioned into this action. Of course, the headwinds are conservative. I mentioned many times that I still believe in the possibility to have some sort of exemption for the LGD, what we call LGD waiver, but we wanted to give you a scenario in which all the potential negative impact, also coming from very positive action like the reduction of NPE, comes on board. And if this happens this year, after this year, we don't have any other material checkpoint with ECB. For the payout, I would say more the opposite, meaning that, of course, the lower the net profit, the higher could be the payout vis-à-vis maintaining the global commitment to distribute 800+ million.
The next question is from Andrea Vercellone with Exane. Please go ahead.
Few questions. The first one is on the default rate. So you mentioned that your 2023 targets are still consistent, even if we have a drop in GDP in 2020. And on the slide where you mentioned the default rate, I don't remember the number, you expect the default rate to trend down over the plan horizon from 1.2% currently. My question is, however, if we do have a recession in 2020, what do you expect the default rate to be in 2020 and 2021? Flat, still down, up? A bit of guidance on that would be helpful. Then a few clarifications also on the slide with the capital headwinds and also the one with the sources of capital. On sources of capital, you talked about Agos before. So my understanding is you have assumed you are going to exercise the put. Did you value it at that price or you made some other assumptions? And if I'm wrong in understanding that, please correct me. I would like to know what assumption, if any, you have made on the Covéa insurance agreement, which expires in 2021, if any. And also on the slide 43, Basel IV framework, why have you got 20 basis points in 2020 when Basel IV doesn't kick in 2020? And also on the EBA guidelines line, you mentioned that the 60 basis points in 2020 is sort of a worst-case scenario if you don't get an LGD waiver. Can you comment what happened to the 40 basis points prudential buffer that you already made specifically for this issue? Because basically 60 plus 40 is 100 basis points. It's pretty big. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vercellone. Let's start from the more difficult one also because, of course, we are still in the middle of considering. We were very simplistic, I would say, in saying a V-shaped scenario for 2020, but amongst this scenario, there could be end of emergency in April, in May, in June, in September. Let's say that in the different scenario we elaborated, at the end of the plan, there would not, if this is the case, there would be not a material change in the cost of risk, global cost of risk. Of course, through a different phasing of the number. I don't have a number because I don't have a proper scenario for that. The put, of course, as you know, we have already embedded the put price at basically 1.5 billion of total consideration. For Agos, we have embedded what we feel is a fair market value of the Agos business right now, or let's say in a normal situation. Covéa, as you're rightly saying, will expire in 2021. Basically, for our plan, it was neutral, not because this couldn't lead to some capital gain, but because we imagined to go to the same percentage, let's say, of the Cattolica bancassurance agreement. As you know, we have 19% in Covéa, 35% in Cattolica. So we have hedged these two situations. Rightly enough, you saw that there is a Basel IV anticipation. This is due to the AMA standard that we have decided to go by this year. As you know, the AMA, as far as the AMA is concerned, we had a very peculiar situation for which we had the former Banco on an advanced model and the former BPM on the standard model. Being that by 2022, every bank should go to the standard, basically, we agreed with ECB that we wouldn't go further in our request to go to validating the model for the new bank, and we will anticipate of about 2 years the effect of the switch into standard. And this, of course, will cost 20 basis points, but it's only an anticipation. If I should have given you the total consideration without this, would have been the same 200 basis points, only with a phase-in different in 2022. I think I have answered to.
No, EBA guidelines? The 40 basis points buffer you had booked? What happened to that?
Sorry, it's already there. Again, into the guidance, we already consider that we have 40 basis points of, let's say, potential advantage. And this is the estimation we it's quite polarized, this decision. Either you get sort of neutral, results from the risking we have done, or having being so massive. Again, we showed that we have reduced more than 75% our book. If no levy would be taken on our LGD perspective, the amount could be higher than 40 basis points, which are already embedded in our 12.8%.
What makes you then change your view? At the time, you had put these 40 basis points, assuming in your estimate at the time that there would have been enough to cover this specific risk. So does this mean that your view has changed and now the risk can cost you up to 60 basis points more? I just don't understand why it was supposed to be kind of neutral 2 quarters ago, and now it's 60 basis points.
No, first of all, 6 is not only related to the LGD waiver, so it's a part of the 60 basis point. I think we have gone through really specifically into each items, and of course we can also give you some more detail, but I think it's quite detailed. The only consideration I can do, it's not my opinion that counts a lot. Of course, my expectation is based on the previous behavior vis-à-vis Italian banking system, and what I can consider in a very conservative assumption, a negative approach. So it's not my opinion that counts, frankly speaking, but is at the end of the day ECB decision. So in order to avoid to be, again, let's say, realistic in a so important presentation like the business plan, and then maybe at the end of the year being obliged to say I didn't reach what I wanted, I prefer to be conservative nowadays and hopefully take advantage of some different decision.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Domenico Santoro with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi, good morning. Thanks for the presentation. Just a couple of ones from my side. First of all, the 200 basis points impact from regulation on capital, does it affect 100% risk-weighted assets, or there is also a component of which going through capital accrued against capital? This is the first question. The second is on asset management sales in particular. I hope you don't mind me asking a question on the current situation. Of course, I mean, your plan is leveraging on asset under management growth, more or less volumes of 6%, more or less, if I'm not wrong. Do you have some data point to understand whether, even with your branches being open, do you have a significant deceleration of sales in asset management over the last couple of weeks? And then a question on UTP. I mean, your plan leverage on the possibility of reducing significantly the UTP. Thanks very much for giving us the impact from calendar provisioning. I'm just wondering whether you might consider some sort of extraordinary deals in case the macro scenario is different from the one that you imagine in the plan. And can you help us to understand, because of course the macro scenario is now what accounts, what should go, qualitatively or quantitatively, what should happen for your UTP now turning into non-performing? Can you give us a sort of idea sensitivity, what should happen in terms of GDP growth, what should happen in terms of probability of default? Thank you very much.
Allora, so sorry. First of all, thank you for the question, so I can stress also another point for the answer to Mr. Vercellone, which I forgot, just to mention that it's not that the people change mind, but unfortunately there are things that happen that make change decision. First of all, of course, there is omnicomprehensive, the headwind is not only credit, as I mentioned before, there is MA, there is market risk, there is basically everything is inside, so you don't have other potential impact. Second, asset under management 6% growth. Let's say that before the last week effect, we were doing the pace that was much better than last quarter 2019. I wouldn't like really to anticipate the results, but was consistently better than last quarter 2019. Frankly speaking, apart from 3-4 days in which we have experienced a reduction in the pace, yesterday, for instance, was a quite normal day. So, of course, there is not a normalized situation, but again, our bank are open, our activity driven, but our CRM is online, so we are doing business as usual, basically, with the constraint of the red area zones, but for the rest, I think for us is 4 or 5 branch involved. For the rest, of course, we are experiencing the reduction in business, but again, we don't think this could last for more. UTP, of course, in a business plan, we want to go in what we call an ordinary situation. So we were very determined to say that this is a result that can be reached without extraordinary activity. Needless to say that we would not close our eyes and ears for the next 4 years. We were ready to discuss and to look at any potential activity which will allow us to accelerate the pace that we have forecasted for the next years. As I mentioned 1 month earlier, without significant capital losses in terms of profit and loss and capital. As I mentioned, we have spent 800 basis points in order to rebuild our capital for the sale, for the disposal, up to now without having any material advantage in terms also of LGD. So let me say for LGD, why now there is more uncertainty? Let's consider that we are the only and first bank to be examined under the Articles 500. This means a new experience for us, but means also a new experience for ECB. So we are all work with a change model in terms of what was done before, and of course each of us is trying to make the counterpart understand how the effect should be. But again, things change. The Article 500 was a material change, and we are still considering together with ECB the potential effect of this application. Maybe I lost. No, apart from I was told that you were asking what driver could increase the danger rate. This is the question.
Well, yes. What should happen in a way for some of your UTP, you know, to turn significantly, materially into non-performing? 3, -3, -4% of GDP. Probability of default increase.
I can imagine also a prolongment of the scenario we have forecast. So, of course, if the scenario is going to affect also 2021, for sure there will be a material contribution in the next year to the non-performing. We have experienced the same for other reasons under other situation. Let's say that I would not consider for the time being any possibility of this kind because, again, everybody say, also Oxe, the major investment bank, the analyst, and so on, the most probable situation, again, is a V-shaped scenario, not a prolonged scenario over the year. It's clear that if this would happen, we would be obliged to change the assumption on the plan to present in due time what are our new assumptions.
All right, thank you. Is there any impact from regulation filtering into your capital, core capital, instead of risk-weighted assets?
No. All the impact, of course, are including also the shortfall and any potential impact from a different balance sheet situation.
All right. Thank you.
The next question is from Jean Noyes with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Good afternoon. I just wanted to ask a few detailed things and then maybe a broader topic question. The first one is, could you please tell us, because you said that you have a 2 billion increase in tangible equity, that I guess is the net of everything. Can you tell us what in that is there are the one-offs? And what is the underlying profitability? I also wanted to ask whether you will smooth the dividend in that if you have, for example, a restructuring charge in 2020, for argument's sake, whether you'll pay 40% of payout ratio, give or take, on the stated profit or on the if you're underlying ex restructuring charge. I also wanted to know whether you'd be able to share what tax rate you've assumed throughout the plan. And then, more broadly speaking, that's obviously a standalone plan, and it's fair enough. The question is now there is a resumption of M&A activity in Italy, and I just wanted whether you felt that Banco BPM has a need to respond to the Intesa UBI announced, one-sided intention to merge. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's see if I understood well the first question. We were mentioning 2 billion of, wealth creation that is split between dividend paid and tangible book value. Of course, the remaining part, the 1.2 billion, would be the part excluding the distributed dividend policy.
The one-off in that 2 billion.
Be affected in 2020 by one-off. Let's say that our target is to be able to respect the 800 million plus, considering also the one-off in 2020. As I mentioned, maybe in the last month presentation, we don't give guidance, of course, for profitability for 2020, but I already mentioned that we would consider the dividend distribution for 2019 as a sort of floor also for the year coming, so it's included in 2020. Very interesting question. Thank you for having this question in the fifth question, which is M&A. Basically, no, I don't think we have to respond to anybody because we are doing our roadmap, of course, on a standalone basis. Allow me not to comment on transactions who are live in this moment on the market, and they are regard to other to our competitors. We basically only think that we can have the time in the next few months to show the main target that we want to reach. We think we have already demonstrated to the market that we could be very, very good in cost saving, in the risking, in capital generation, and so on. We want to show that we have a sustainable profitability generated by core business. This is the main strength of our bank. And unfortunately, due to many reasons, First of all, the merger. Secondly, the accident we went through with Diamond and so on. We were not able to show this trend to the market. My goal is starting from 2020, COVID-19 allowing to show that this is very consistent and this is the real strength of our bank. If I can put together this strength with what we already showed, I think we can have a good future also on a standalone basis. If you ask me if I think that the market is going to consolidate even more, of course you know my answer because I already say that I see a market which is more consolidated. The only things that I can say that, of course, I hope to participate to this consolidation, I would say, from the bottom and not from the top, let's say.
What does it mean, from the bottom but not from the top?
My English is very poor. I mean, I hope that this consolidation comes from many mid-sized banks that put together rather than, let's say, an hostile transaction.
I see. Very clear. Thanks.
The next question is from Antonio Reale with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for the presentation. I have a few questions from my side. You'll forgive me, one of which is slightly provocative, but I just want to hear your thoughts. So you've disclosed a cumulative 260 basis points of regulatory headwinds between 2020 and 2023. Now, if I understand correctly, that's about 65 basis points per year, which is exactly your organic capital generation before dividends are paid, according to consensus at least. So one could argue that, so in order to pay to have a payout of 40% or above, you would need to see a significant repricing of the asset spreads, sell some equity stakes, which you're doing, and hope that the macro environment doesn't derail. How shall we think about that comment? I mean, how should we think about the sustainability of that dividend payout going forward? So that's the first question. And the second one, if I look at slide 43, I see you talk about calendar provisioning being more than compensated by CRD5 relief. But that's implying that you have enough AT1 outstanding for you to see a reduction in the Pillar 2R. Are you factoring in another issuance of AT1 in the plan targets, and is this included in your estimates? That's the second question. And lastly, if you could perhaps, given the IFRS 9 regime, could you please provide a sensitivity to loan loss provisions from any changes to GDP growth, please? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Reale. No provocative question. Thank you for your question. I would say, of course, the plan is a revenues growth plan. So, of course, we have embedded on a long-term scenario of 4 years a progressive growth in all the aspects of the bank. As you could have seen, the majority coming not from NII, of course, but from Wealth Management Commission and generally from Commission and from some new business opportunity coming from partnership. These are the two drivers. For the rest, is a cost-to-serve exercise in order to have all our, let's say, mass-market clients to be served even more by digital, with a digital approach. In saying that, again, you can see the different results we are embedding in the plan. I would say, just to simplify, the more concrete is the increasing of commission in wealth management, but of course there is also a repricing in 4 years. This is another reason why we went for 4 years. In 4 years, we have the time basically to reprice all our loan book. We have 20 billion per year for 100 billion loan book, so is 4/5 of the book will be repriced in 4 years, which we already started with. So again, is an exercise which is not easy, but is something that we feel possible. Also, of course, with an external growth in terms of market share. So we think we can, both for geography and for some specific attitude of our bank, to grow in the enterprise, in some area, which is not nowadays very well dealt by our bank. 81 for the 60 basis points. We were the first mid-sized bank to issue an 81 in April last year, which was done just because we wanted to taste the market also on this side. We were very successful in the last one in January with a very good results. We are expecting over the plan to increase the 81 apport in order to exploit arbitrage very well at the best the capital requirement with subordinated instruments. So that's why we think is possible for us to reach. Just to be frank, we have more 81 in the plan assumption than we need in terms of capital. Security provision, I think if you are only related to the V-shaped scenario, I think is more provision of 100 million on the overall plan.
Thank you.
The next question is from Noemi Peruch with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have a couple of questions on capital. Do the 200 bps headwinds include also the SME supporting factor? And you're planning 15-20 bps from securitization a year. What assets will this involve, and what are your expectations in terms of revenue loss from this? And do you have a preliminary feedback from the SSM about the application article 104A to offset calendar provisioning? And finally, could you please disclose your MREL requirement and the date on which you should be compliant by? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I hope to understood all your question. Yes, the SME supportive factoring is embedded in our plan. I heard this morning that something more could be done by European Commission, but of course we are waiting, and is embedded what is already decided. So is a part of the plan. As far as securitization, the SME's business, in order to have a very fragmented book building is SME loans. Basically, as I mentioned before, there is no interest NII impact, but only the payment of, a commission in order to have insured the first loss, which is not in terms of NII. The MREL requirements are fully matched with our plan, with our funding plan. We didn't go through, of course, the different instruments we will issue starting from this year. This year would be the one with the less buffer in terms of MREL requirement, growing further very much over the plan horizon. Why this year has less buffer? Because, as you know, certificates are considered inside MREL requirements, but only if issued by the parent company. In our case, we have certificates up to now, and for the first half of 2020 will be the same, issued by Banca Akros, which doesn't meet the MREL requirements. So for the first part of the year, we will not consider certificates under MREL. For the second part of the year, we will rebuild our capacity through issuing certificates by Banco BPM.
Thank you. And do you have, by any chance, any preliminary feedback from the SSM regarding the CRD5?
Basically, we didn't ask specifically for us, because as far as we understand, CRD5 will be applied for everybody starting from 2021. So we asked, of course, verbally this question to ECB in a recent visit to Frankfurt, and we were said that they are considering this, generally speaking, of course.
Thank you.
The next question is from Christian Carrese with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I have four questions. The first one is on asset quality evolution. You said that the V-shape scenario would cause 100 million euro additional provision over the plan. I was wondering if the deterioration of the macro scenario would be worse than expected. Would you take into account the possibility to reduce the MDA buffer expected over 300 basis points by the end of the plan to accelerate NPL or UTP disposals? The second question is on unlikely to pay again. If you can elaborate a little bit on the team, the division to speed up the internal workout. The third question is on contingency plan. In case revenues evolution will be lower than expected due to macro deterioration, if you can give us an idea of what could be the action to reduce cost faster. And finally, the outlook on 2020 in terms of fees. I know that it's quite uncertain, the current scenario, but do you expect fees to be more or less in line with the fourth quarter, or maybe to be better than that trend? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carrese. Okay, again, of course, you can imagine that during the last days we were elaborating a different scenario in order to comply with the more credible presentation possible, but also our fantasy has some limits. So we decide to give what is nowadays considered the most probable option, which is an impact in 2020 and a rebound from 2021. Any other scenario, of course, is not considered inside the plan. We can elaborate in many scenarios. Of course, we will come more public when we think that the scenario is over and maybe we should elaborate a new one. But this, I think, could happen only if this current situation and this sanitary condition is going to last for the next 3-6 months, I don't know. So let's check before. I think there is also on our side a sort of moral obligation, again, which is also confirmed by what I was explaining before. We are not experiencing a strong reduction in the activity of the bank. We are working, let's say, even though in a very strange scenario, but in doing business as usual. So I don't have numbers for many other scenario because I don't have many. I have too many scenario to confirm. Let's say that I think both of us can be quite cautious in saying that the recession scenario for 2020 up to now is enough conservative to examine a business plan of 4 year duration. Internal workout, as I was explaining, is if you go back to the page in which I only pointed out the workout at the end, so in the deteriorated asset, of course there is a lot of work that starts much before, starting from the credit policy, going through the data analytics for monitoring and experiencing a robust perception of the deterioration of credit through the securitization insurance on this side of the book loan. So there are many maneuvers we are doing, and I think our numbers are really credible in order to give you a clear idea of our potential target reach. Contingency plan, again, in a normal or U-shaped scenario, we will be able to confirm the target and, of course, in terms of cost income, to adequate immediately the cost expenses to the revenues. So again, if you see the third year of the previous plan, we have experienced an extraordinary reduction in cost because we were prepared to do that. The same will be also for this business plan. We have investment, we have a lot of upselling, technological upselling, we have investment on our people, all things that can be done quarter by quarter, semester by semester, year by year. So we are almost in control of the cost expenditure. And this is the best assurance for us to comply with the cost income. Again, 2020, again, the scenario, I cannot expand anymore because otherwise I would be one of the thousand of people who declare about what will happen, not knowing exactly the solution.
On MDA buffer, would you be prepared to reduce the MDA buffer to accelerate NPL disposals?
Yes, sorry, I missed this question. Yes, I would say we have also other tools. We have a lot of unrealized capital gains. We have more opportunities to deploy during the plan. I'm sure you have seen that our guidance is 250 basis points of buffer, and we have above 300 basis points. So we can use as much tools as we can in order to accelerate should the global situation suggest, like it was in the first three-year plan, a more dramatic and immediate reduction.
And just a final question, if I may, on the tax rate embedded in the plan.
Is a normal tax rate, maybe apart from the stakeholdings, of course. When we will reduce the stakeholdings, there will be an advantage, in fiscal advantage, but it's quite negligible considering the plan horizon.
Thank you.
The next question is from Hugo Cruz with KBW. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you, and apologies if it has been asked, but does the plan assume any DTA benefits? I guess not through the P&L, but on against capital. And then in terms of the synthetic securitizations, is there an impact of that, I assume, on your NII or elsewhere in the P&L that is already reflected in the plan? If there is, if you could give guidance on that amount, would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cruz. DTA. So, of course, there will be an impact on the net profit, reducing part of the DTA. On capital, we will have a marginal reduction in the effect of capital. Will be partial, I think 100, 150 million of impact on capital. In particular, into those in RWA will be an effect higher than the capital one.
And the impact of the synthetic securitizations on NII?
I already answered before. The securitization we are building up are with the commission paid to, let's say, to the first loss insurer rather than NII contribution.
All right, thank you.
The next question is from Alberto Cordara with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hello. So my question is, in page 39, you are saying that you will align the share of Italian govies on total security to 40% in line with peers average. My question is if you can tell us what that does it mean in terms of ratio to Tier 1 capital, if you can give us a view of the absolute value of the reduction, and I assume this is entailed in your assumption regarding the pressure on NII, but if you can be specific and tell us how much NII will you lose as part of these actions. Then I wanted to come back to a question that just my colleague Ugo asked you regarding the commissions. So the commission that you pay on the first loss, will it go as a negative in the commission line or somewhere else in the P&L? And I don't know if you can quantify how much this will amount to based on your plan. And finally, the very last question. In slide 37, you're showing that the default rate is moving down from 1.2% that you recorded this year. I don't know if you can give us a bit of an idea of what is your assumption regarding the end of plan default rate. And I know this is an impossible question to answer, but whether this year shall we expect a rebound, an upward rebound of the default rate or not. Thank you.
Okay. Meanwhile, I have some precise answer to the first question, which was very articulated. Let's start from commission paid. Yes, I confirm under the commission line. The default rate, I think, over the plan horizon is going in the region of 1%. As you mentioned, it's an impossible answer to your question, understanding what could be the effect of the deteriorating, of a more deteriorated scenario rather than the one we presented. In the one we presented, again, there is a global impact of 100 million over the plan horizon. So, unfortunately, I don't have other figures to give you. In terms of govies, what is this, the reduction? Ah, okay. Proportion of common equity, govies on common equity tier 1, 1.8, more or less. Which will be stable over the plan horizon. Of course, we have embedded this reduction in the NII, taking account that, of course, there is, frankly speaking, during these days, we already embedded also the new yield of the govies in our forecast, which is, I don't know if temporary or not, but it's changed since some weeks ago. I have to say, sorry, about NII. Yes, that NII is, of course, contributing negative in terms of yield, but, of course, the funding of the govies is up to now has been very favorable and is a reduction in cost of funds.
Okay, sorry, just very briefly on the commission that you pay on the securitization, can you disclose us what is the amount that you have in the plan? Is it possible to quantify that or you don't have the number?
Of course, it's much lower than the NII contribution. It's a part of it, depending on the size, could be variable between 5 to 10 million, I would say.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. Castagna, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for being with us today. Again, thanks to all my colleagues, thanks to the people who is working in order to reestablish a normal situation. We will work every day in order to help on our side to have also the opportunity to confirm the business plan number. Thank you very much.